I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Every day is filled with opportunities to express yourself. And with an everyday piece from Blue Nile, you can do it without saying a word. Blue Nile's collection of diamond jewelry is the ultimate statement, with sparkle that elevates any outfit. Or switch things up with a sapphire piece sure to spark conversation. Either way, their diamond guarantee ensures you get the highest quality at the best price. Express yourself with Blue Nile, the original online jeweler, at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
People say it's just a waste of time, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betfair. The Premier League is back, and so is the Merseyside Derby. It's Friday, 20th of October. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
Everybody, good to have you with us. It's Friday. Hold your waters in the air. It's too early for the other stuff, but Fantas are allowed.
Where's the keys?
They're where they should be.
Yeah, where right. They should be.
Mm. They're on my side.
Up your bot.
Yeah. On your what? Side in a little holster. I'm the sheriff of the weekend.
Yeah. Do you know why Marcus has got his keys on a belt loop rather than in his pocket?
Because I saw a dog doing it in Buenos Aires.
No, because you've got too many girls' phone numbers in your pocket, baby. You can't fit the keys in there.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable.
The heartbreak kid of the Ramble.
The heartbreak kid of everybody.
Me and Pete are the bushwhackers.
Are you?
Yeah, Jim's the undertaker.
You've got very low-cut vests on as we speak.
Yeah.
And my goodness, what a sight.
We lick fish.
Mm-hmm. You lick fish?
We lick fish and share a bed.
Fish and kiss boys.
And one of them is called Luke the Bushwhacker, isn't he?
Yes, I believe
so.
So
there you go.
Perfect.
I think he might be the one who's still alive. One of them died this year.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
The sweet release of Bushwhacker death.
God rest whichever one's dead and condolences to their family.
Mm.
Yeah.
And everyone is in New Zealand.
Yeah. Mm. Don't look at me like that. You started this.
I
never started.
You started talking about Fanta.
You start all of it every show.
Yeah. It's a rare thing, ladies and gentlemen, when Luke and Pete look at me as if to say, come on, move on quickly.
Come on, these references are too 90s heavy. Come on, Marcus. Yeah.
Marcus, it's the 20th of October, which means it's Ringo fan mail deadline day. If you send Ringo Starr anything after October 20th on whatever year it is, he will not be signing it. Peace and love.
Oh, right. Okay.
So are the Rolling Stones touring at the moment? They could do something really funny there.
Yeah, they could.
I think they are, actually. They've got a new album out.
I mean, they're always touring, aren't they?
Well, Eric Cantona said he wants them to support him.
He did.
So Eric Cantona started making music. Yeah. I've not heard any of it. Presumably it's like a more folky Serge
very,
Gainsbourg.
No,
well, it sort of changes with every song by the sounds of it.
I would say it was late... William Shatner.
Oh, is it really?
I think
a bit speaky.
Very talky.
Me, though, his arrogance about his talents and the music itself is giving me the idea that it might be some kind of methadone kind of patch for your obsession with Oasis.
What you reckon?
You know what I mean? It sort of brings you back to the 90s quite nicely, and there's that kind of like swagger and arrogance of Oasis.
If he was doing...
He's
he was
coming
doing,
back to say for music.
The crap that's coming out of your mouth right now. And also... Wait,
get used to it. We're here for an hour.
And also, you two always reference the 90s more than I do, but you just...
I don't.
Stockholm Syndrome, isn't it?
Unbelievable. Yeah. We're just trying to make you love us.
I well, it's just lust at the moment.
Why don't you respect us?
Why don't you respect the Bushwhackers?
Why don't you let me talk about Liverpool versus Everton?
Okay.
All right, then. A very 90s fixture.
Yeah.
Do we have to talk about
it
as well?
A 90s...
It would shut your fat mouth.
It would be loads in the 90s. I'd like to see you deny that.
Yeah.
It's more of an 80s fixture when they were both the best two sides.
I agree with Mark, because I think it's more of an 80s fixture than a 90s one.
Up all of yours.
But Everton did win the FA Cup in 95.
Yeah, they did.
And they won the league in 85. So
yeah, right.
Just saying.
That's not relevant to what I'm saying. They were the best two teams in the land in various moments in the 80s.
Just letting people who are new to this show know that I do know a bit about football.
Well, I'm just giving a bit of background. So
angry about funny things.
Let us move forward, Jim, to the modern era. And Everton are looking for just their second win at Anfield this century.
Yeah.
Which sounds worse than it is, because it's only 23 years.
Mm.
But it's...
23 years.
It's a long old time still. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't the one of those wins... only a couple of seasons ago. So they'll have that wind in their sails from only a couple of seasons ago, I'd imagine. Because they've consistently built so well, obviously, as we all know.
Well, the Liverpool versus Everton is also the most drawn game in English Football League history. How about
it's
that?
It's attritional, isn't it?
Mm.
It's very attritional. It's not the goal fest that's often the North London derby, is it?
No.
Well, Everton like to, in modern times, sort of try their very best to keep it tight. There's never a rout, is there, really? It's always pretty evenly balanced because it's a really competitive fixture for one club.
Right. Well, Sean Dyche and Jurgen Klopp have got a bit of history in the tunnel at Anfield.
Mm. Oh, I remember this, yeah.
Because once they kissed.
No.
No, they had a spat back in 2021. And
it was
Dyche
a little bumfield, wasn't it?
Well, that's quite a serious allegation, Luke Moore.
I know.
I'll do it repeatedly.
Carry on.
Until I'm up.
I didn't say who felt whose bum. Yeah.
Just a bum was felt.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, it probably wouldn't be Dyche because he had a big long jacket on. Yeah.
And I think with Klopp and him, it's kind of two very different... you know, you've got a good football man against someone who's regarded as being quite modern in his tastes tactically.
I think it might be.
So you can really sort of get behind one or the other. It's a real kind of like heel versus face kind of idea.
But are we being a touch harsh on Dyche? Because at the moment at Everton, I think he's carried himself fairly well. I mean, obviously there was that whole business with
no one cares about
with Damari Gray going, and there was a bit of a spat there. I admit, but I suppose say Dominic Calvert-Lewin, for example, take him. He's scored a few goals of late, and he said that Sean Dyche's patience in not rushing him back from injuries other Everton managers have done is paying off. Now, you would think that the reputation that, well, certainly we have given Dyche, perhaps others, that he's, you know, a bit more old school than, oh, get on with it, for crying out loud, you can walk, and so on. It's totally the opposite in that particular situation, because Calvert-Lewin said he has been rushed back from injury, and Dyche said that he, as a player, remembers being... Well, he rushed himself back, I suppose, is how he described it.
He was a meat and potatoes centre-back, wasn't he, as a player?
I think that's probably right. Yeah. And he said, no, it's really important that Calvert-Lewin, it's basically up to him when he comes back, because we can try and cajole him and so on, but he knows his body, obviously.
He's a big hamstring guy, isn't he? Big hamstring guy. Or not big enough.
Yeah.
It needs to be bigger, to be quite frank. He's always out with a hamstring.
What constitutes a big hamstring guy? You've always got a hamstring injury.
Yeah. You always feel a bit like, ooh.
Michael Owen's a massive hamstring guy.
Yeah.
Definite.
Was this not more complicated to knee sort of situation?
He had a few.
It's all linked, I think. I think when you start to get into a situation where you're out for a long time. So I think they build into the recovery process of a serious knee injury, you're going to get a hamstring.
Right.
Because it's impossible to train.
Have you ever
properly
done a hamstring? I have. It's awful.
It's awful, yeah.
It's like you've been shot in the back of the leg.
It's bad. And it depends on the severity of it. But if you snap one, I've never done that. That's terrible.
Surely that's an operation then, isn't it?
I think serious ones, they have to reattach.
There and then on the pitch.
Snapping the inside bit of your leg.
Yeah.
Grim.
So you're a big ankle guy, aren't you, Pete?
These days, groin, unfortunately.
Groin guy.
Because
that explosive pace.
Those pelvic movements.
Yeah.
Last time you talked about playing football was on the show on Monday, I think.
Yeah.
And you said that you let 4 goals in 15 minutes, including being lobbed on your line because you're only 5'8".
Yeah.
And that was his highlight of the weekend.
Yeah.
Not the worst keeper in the squad, that's all I'm saying.
Well, presumably not, because you're in the team.
Yeah, exactly. It would have been five otherwise. Gentlemen, David Coote has been handed the VAR role for the game. He was on VAR back in 2020 when Jordan Pickford injured Virgil van Dijk.
That was an assault. That was a full-on assault.
Coote decided not to send Pickford off based on a marginal offside call. So, are we going to see more anger, Jim Campbell?
This kind of narrative, maybe I'm forgetting something. Or I've got a short memory, but it seems new to me, this idea, or we're sort of learning about it now, that referees seem to be deliberately kept away, or officials seem to be deliberately kept away from teams that where there's been a controversial
which
incident.
Which is mental. Exactly.
It suggests that PGMOL kind of...
Just say Pogmol.
You can call them Pogmol.
Yeah, just call them the Pogmol posse.
Summer, the Pog posse. It suggests that they don't... maybe don't trust their referees to not be overawed by the situation, but they don't trust them to be impartial after
I don't think that's
like
either
of
those things.
Well, I don't know what it is, but it's...
Well, I'll tell you what it is.
Something,
they can't be bothered dealing with they can't be bothered dealing with all the media and the admin. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Of course it is, Jim.
Is that reasonable? They should trust every referee and every official to be able to do a good job.
Correct.
Impartially.
Yes. And perhaps they should stand up for themselves a bit more, but they've got an enormous amount of heat on them and they just think, okay, let's see if we can cool this off a bit. I think taking off, I forget his name, who got the Luis Diaz goal, you know, the miscommunication there, saying he wants...
Darren England,
he shouldn't be involved in another Liverpool game for the rest of the season. I think that sends out totally the wrong message. But we talked about that. But that's what it is.
But what happened now is, you know, we're hearing that David Coote wasn't involved in Liverpool games for a long time, and then exactly the same thing comes up again. It's like, well, why not? Well, now what's going to happen now?
And now he's back, and it proves that the house always wins, Jim.
Guys, I'm sure everything will be fine in this game. they've had a Pogmol summer, haven't they?
They have had
Pogmol massively summer. Had a Pogmol summer.
Ah, oh, dear. Yeah. You see, 90s references.
Yeah. Marcus, I think that Jim's absolutely full on, spot on, and what I would just add is...
He is full on as well.
He's very full on, yeah. I think that they need to almost take a step back and say every single game, every single team is the same, and all the other stuff that you complained about and the official complaints and the escalation and stuff, it's just noise.
Would you be talking about this if it was Brighton Luton? Like, would there be this these changing of like the chess pieces if we were...
Possibly not, Peter.
No.
Possibly
I'm saying not. Definitely not, because the noise is just less, isn't it?
What they should do is they should, before the weekend's fixtures, they should... do like a draw, like a cup draw, but which referees are you going to get? And you have the teams and everybody there.
Yeah.
It's
like, could you have a couple of wild cards?
The whole lot.
Yeah, have a couple of wild cards in there.
Out of retirement for one game, Pierluigi Collina.
I've got David Attenborough.
That's Uriah Rennie's music.
Yeah, nice.
There you go.
Yeah, I think it becomes a huge distraction, but then there's obviously an element to it. They don't help themselves. But that David Coote thing in 2020,
yes,
with Pickford's... full-on assault of Van Dijk, where he blatantly should have been sent off. I understand the laws are slightly different when the ball's not technically in play because of offside, but the referee can still send him off.
That's a loophole. I smacked him. Oh, you broke the rest of that. Fair game, isn't it?
Van Dijk was out for ages after that.
It
was
the severity of the injury is
absolutely right.
The severity of the challenges, which obviously then leads to that.
You can't be dictated by the injury severity. I totally get that, because that can happen at any point.
And you also don't know it there.
But it's still quite a lot of further...
I think we could guess it was going to be a
circumstantial evidence.
Of course, yeah. Well, one of the ways that we could help clean up the game and how it's officiated, is that the Football Association have reportedly called on autonomous robots to be referees and to be introduced to English football at some point.
That's not helpful for the Pug Posse in the FA going, can you get robots instead?
Pete,
stop pissing about that.
As the official robot ramble, what do you think about this?
I think they may be overcomplicating quite a simple job.
Totally.
I think they're only going halfway, because if you want the game completely honest...
Robot footballers,
because you can program in them to be honest.
Yes.
Or just take away all the laws.
Yeah.
Right, and let the robots...
Blood Bowl.
Just do whatever you want.
The Blood Bowl Premier League.
It would be great if you think about it, because you just get the hardest people playing.
Mm. Yeah.
I think there's already a version of that. They could pick the ball up. Yeah. It's actually quite shit.
And they're gentlemen.
When you get the hardest, respectfully downing pints of their own piss,
Jim shouldn't,
as initiation
through a sock. Jim shouldn't be criticising rugby on the weekend of England playing the Rugby
shouldn't
World
be.
Cup.
Shouldn't
some respect, Jim.
Yeah. Like, so if you were
I won't,
sat here,
I'm full on.
It is full on.
We've heard.
Full on Campbell. If you were sat here with three big rugby players, you would be saying that, Jim.
Of course I fucking wouldn't.
No, because you get battered.
And you're a coward.
No, I wouldn't get battered. They're respectful.
They respect people.
Oh dear. But yes, back to the Merseyside derby, if we may. Liverpool will be without Andy Robertson for this game. Of course, he suffered an injury while on Scotland duty, so he'll be a miss. But I mean, what about Liverpool? Andy Brassel and myself were saying recently that the performances have not been quite as good as the results. What do you think?
They're still going to get the result, though, aren't they?
I think, weirdly, for a team of their size and their profile, as you guys have touched on in this conversation, they've gone a bit under the radar at the start of the season. Well, 8 games in. I mean, Andy Robertson will be a miss. I think he's played every game. Mm-hmm. I think he's played every minute.
He's certainly a regular.
Yeah, and so that's they're probably going to have to play Simicast there, aren't they, instead? Which I know he's featured in other competitions for them fairly recently, but I find it interesting they've gone a bit under the radar, chiefly because I think there's a lot of other teams in the Premier League making a lot of noise. Man City are always doing it, and Spurs have really taken a lot of the attention. They've sucked in a lot of the press column inches, if you will, just because of how well they've started. Arsenal have hit the ground running again as well. And you've always got teams like Brighton and Aston Villa who are kind of fancied and a bit fashionable these days. So I think they'll be pretty content with that. Having said what I've said, you know, I mean, I'm trying to think. They lost to Spurs, didn't they? In a kind of
weird
circumstance, fairly close one. Yeah. Sure. And other than that, they've been decent. Look, it's very early days still. I think they're a good team.
But they've shown real grit, though. That win against Newcastle, and even the performance against Spurs, where they were very unfortunate not to get a point.
The turnaround against Newcastle was incredible.
It was.
And when you talk about them perhaps not being quite as good as their results, they were the second best team in that game, and they turned it around and were able to do something. I also think they're coming off the back of effectively what a quite quiet season, right? Yeah. And under Klopp, historically, there's a pattern there with that stuff. Yeah. So I wouldn't be hugely surprised if they do something quite decent.
Mm. This is the ideal game for them, surely, off the back of an international break. I know missing Robertson isn't ideal, but home game against Everton, a lot riding on it because of the context of that game. I think they'll have a nice afternoon.
There's a slight a fitness concern with Darwin Nunez, which would be a shame not to see old Captain Chaos play, because he's had a good international break, of course. Yeah. We'd like to see that, wouldn't we, Jimmy?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's certainly in a derby. Yeah. This is exactly the person you want to see in there, old Captain Chaos.
Oh, it's a hat-trick or it's a 10-minute red card.
Absolutely. Or it could even be both.
Yeah.
Well, it's been quite the week for Everton, of course, as a hearing into the club's alleged breach of Premier League profit and sustainability rules begun.
What they need at this point, isn't it?
Yeah.
Who'd have thought that was coming?
Stadium on the go.
Well, they obviously vehemently deny this, of course, all the allegations, but if found guilty, they could face a range of punishments, including a fine, transfer embargo, or points deduction. So they go into battle there. Mm. This is all the while Everton's controversial takeover discussions continue. So, yeah, I would say never a dull moment at Everton, but some
of
the football.
Love a dull moment,
yeah.
Right. Some of the football.
Yeah, speaking of takeovers, it looks like Sir Big Jim Radcliffe is 25% takeover, and Manchester United is set to be delayed, according to reports as well. Mm. So, just a bit of admin there, everybody.
Is that because United is such a high profile company, they're on the stock exchange and all the rest of it, they have to do a lot of due diligence? Presumably it is, right?
Yeah, presumably getting...
You want me to confirm that, do you?
Yeah, I think it's probably the case, right? And also...
I will.
The other thing about it I find odd is that he's taken over a reasonably small percentage of the club, and is the understanding is over time he will take over the whole thing, right? That's basically what
that's the hope, isn't it?
I think that's the way the wind's blowing.
Yeah.
And then, but at the same time, I think Vish did touch on this maybe a bit earlier this week. It's kind of a bit odd that the Glazers have said, we're not going to sell to you, but we are going to let you take over football operations of the football club, which is basically the core of the business.
A rare, strange decision from the Glazers.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Do they just do nothing then?
Maybe.
I don't know. I mean, presumably they're in charge of commercial operations, which they see as the powerhouse of the profit and loss in the business, right?
Indeed, yeah. Who bloody knows? But let's stay in Manchester, because Manchester City are hosting Brighton on Saturday afternoon at 3 p.m. Opta's supercomputer has said that Manchester City's title chances have fallen by nearly 20%.
What a blow.
Pete, what do you reckon the Opta supercomputer looks like?
I reckon it's probably, for the calculations that you need to do, you would probably say a mobile phone these days, surely. Yeah. I mean, we imagine the supercomputer being, you know, one of those big, you know, is it Deep Blue, the IBM one that was really popular in the 90s?
Like, there was a Cray one as well.
Yeah,
Cray.
We're imagining this massive kind of data
sort of center. Robot Andy.
Yes. Yeah. Or, but I reckon it's probably just one computer. There's your supercomputer.
It's crunching a bit of data. Is it because it's men of a certain age who are sub-editors on newspapers.
Think they that that's still a supercomputer.
They still can use the
threats. The supercomputer.
Yeah, like cybercrime. any kind of phrase that's about 20 years out of date, they'll still use, basically.
Do they refer to the opta-boffins?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or a player's been caught having nookie.
Having a data romp. Oh,
yeah.
The one in a bed romp.
The opta supercomputers had a data romp.
Yeah.
They said that Man City have got no chance of winning the league now.
I'm going to start using the word romp more. Ugh, I had a real romp on Call of Duty last night.
Sadly, it would be relevant to what we get up to now.
I think your neighbours have already had enough of you. I don't think you should carry on doing that.
I think they use that word about you a lot. He's romping again.
He's romping again.
Romping and bonking.
He's
Pete
got,
Donaldson.
He's got his romper suit on.
I was about to say, yeah, his romper suit.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Well, ahead of their last clash in May, Man City and Brighton, of course, Pep Guardiola said of Roberto De Zerbi, "I think Roberto is one of the most influential managers in the last 20 years. He always goes over the top with
praise."
He
really does, doesn't he?
I really don't think it's mind games either. I think he really is just constantly spilling over with mad ideas and theories.
He
and
loves
concepts.
Football. He loves the people who play it and manage it. He just loves every part of it. He's like, it's brilliant. Yeah. Everything's brilliant or rubbish.
Do you think Nathan Redmond is just wandering around all the time going, I've peaked. I can't get back to those heights.
You don't reckon there's a mind game part of it at all?
No. He's just like Pep. Out of five, Robocop. Five. Short Circuit. Five. Moving away from the 90s. Plan 9 from Outer Space. Five. Everything's a five. Yeah. Out of five. He just cannot stop.
He loves everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Short Circuit was 1986, by the way.
All right.
Not 90s.
All right, fine.
Get it right.
First time you've ever Googled something on your laptop during a show. Congratulations.
Right? I just Googled Image Jew, bloody hell.
One of the main guys in Short Circuit directed that Beckham
documentary. Yeah, we spoke about it.
We did speak about it recently. Well, since De Zerbi's arrival in the Premier League, only Arsenal and Manchester City have scored more goals than Brighton. That is impressive, Jim Campbell.
He's one of the most influential managers of the last 20 years. Is that really surprising?
I was surprised to see that Arsenal scored more goals than Man City.
90.
I think Arsenal scored the most goals they'd ever scored in a Premier League season, certainly last year.
Wow.
Yeah. Nice.
Wow.
Manchester City 88 and Brighton 82.
It's not bad.
Absolutely right.
They conceded a fair few, to be fair, though.
For those tactical boffins that like this kind of stuff, this would be a great game for them. But obviously, they're not going to be able to watch it, are they?
No, of course they're not going to be able to watch it because the Premier League has confirmed it's going to stick to the Saturday 3 p.m. blackouts. But the number of matches on TV is going to increase from 2025, including all 10 matches on the final day of the season.
I thought we had that anyway for some reason. Well, have I gone a bit mad?
I know what you mean.
I thought it was they were all on Amazon for some reason.
Amazon does have a few match days through the season where they show all of them on Prime, but I don't think the final day is. I don't think Sky Sports would give that
The final day's on a Sunday, so usually they'll have the games of interest, if there are any, if there's a title race. So, say, Liverpool, Man City games will be on there.
What you're touching on there is interesting because I suppose a good number of those games on the final day just won't be relevant.
Yeah,
8th versus 11th or whatever. It's not going to make any difference.
It's funny though, when they say the amount of matches on TV is going to increase. Well, again, the fans will be screwed over there because what they'll do is they'll move games earlier and then later. And people have got to travel and so on. And
7 a.m. on a Saturday morning.
Yeah, do you remember they used to do 11 a.m. kickoffs? Yeah. It wasn't that long ago.
Yeah. So you're getting pasta down at 5 a.m. or
something. Yeah,
players
would say that, wouldn't they? You have to eat all that kind of stuff.
I remember quite a prominent Arsenal Man United game being 11 a.m.
But Man City versus Brighton, is there going to be an upset, Pete Donaldson?
What would an upset be, though?
What would upset be?
Brighton winning or drawing?
Deadpan. Man City lost to Wolves last time out. Yeah. The time before.
Yeah. So what?
If they're going to lose against anyone, I think Brighton's exactly the sort of side to be able to land a blow, personally. So, one all.
Yeah.
Good.
I mean, they are in a, you know, by their own standards, a mini blip. I think Brighton would be. Brighton might be good for a draw here because De Zerbi's very, very good at the old tacticals, isn't he?
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, Rodri's back. That's massive. That makes a huge, huge difference. So that might kind of make that a bit null. But we obviously know that Pep respects De Zerbi a lot. De Zerbi's very good at sort of approaching these games against the bigger teams. You always look at these games thinking Brighton might get something against all of the top six. Yeah. They feel like a team who belong in that bracket when it comes to competitiveness on the day. So I think they could get something.
They could get something.
So they'll almost certainly get absolutely top.
Well, they're currently sit just 2 points behind Manchester City. I think Matoma's there's a slight injury concern over him. But I think, you know, again, going back to Nathan Redmond, you know, because Pep was annoyed that he didn't sort of dribble and attack at them more.
Yeah.
He's going to think, oh, blah, every time I get the ball, just run straight at them. Otherwise, I can't be dealing with him.
Mm. I do think there's an element as well with some of these Brighton players who are playing for a good team and they're, you know, forging really good reputations for themselves. And we talked, didn't we, about Pascal Gross and his kind of, you know, his interest in the German national team and stuff. Some of these players who are really talented players, they just think, you know what? Against Man City, all the attention is going to be on me. I'm going to have a lovely old time. Yeah. Someone like Matoma, I feel the character he seems to be.
If he plays, which he probably will.
I think
will.
He probably will play. Yeah. And he could really make, you know, he could really make a day of it. You know, I think I think it's a really interesting game, which is why it's annoying that we can't watch it.
Yeah, well, and as you say, Manchester City have lost their last two. So the international break was very welcome from them, of course. Saved by the old bell, you could say, because, you know, who knows how long that losing streak would have gone on for.
Yeah.
But it still can be continued if Brighton do the
pick
business. Yeah.
Imagine if they went five or six games and then people started to say,
is
Pep the right man?
They'd still come back, wouldn't they? Yeah. All right, let's go for a quick break.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Let's not take the piss here. I certainly wasn't.
Well, I think you are.
Well, I think you are.
Did you see the video of Roy Hodgson eating a squirrel?
It was a horrible video of a seagull eating a squirrel, and then he just flew off with a squirrel in his belly.
Gave Roy a high five.
How are you digesting that?
A high wing, a feather, whatever it would be. Chelsea versus Arsenal.
Roy did a little pellet in the background.
Oh, yeah. Chelsea versus Arsenal on Saturday at 5:30 in the evening. Chelsea won their last three games before the international break. What a turnaround from them. Obviously, we saw them beat Fulham, of course, which was a very, very sad affair for myself.
And that was a bit of a nothing game, as those people who listen to Ramble Reacts probably worked out because we had to do a lot of entertainment, didn't we, Marcus?
A lot of entertainment.
We couldn't talk about the game very much because it was a quick 1-2 from Chelsea. Mm. Yes. Fulham couldn't get back in the game, and it was really just a very, very low-key day at the office for Chelsea.
That's right.
Which is a damning indictment for Fulham on that particular occasion. Mm. This game will go a long way towards letting us know whether Chelsea are starting to put themselves into a proper coherent unit and they're a serious concern for whatever their ambitions are this season, because I think, you know, something decent, properly decent, is going to be beyond them. But they could make a good fist of the season if they carry on the way they're going. And a game against Arsenal, who are very good, would be a great litmus test.
It would. Yeah. I mean, as I say, the Chelsea, their results have improved in the last three games, one in the Carabao Cup and two in the league. So they were, I mean, they were desperately needing to put something together. Are you concerned, Jim Campbell, that... Because I remember thinking before the Fulham game, I thought, I think Chelsea are going to start to begin to click. Yeah. Mudryk gets his goal, which will give him confidence. He's had a lot of scrutiny and so on.
He scored for Ukraine as well, yeah.
Yeah, indeed. Sterling has started to score as well. Mm. They're just getting a few more goals in there, which is something that they were struggling with.
Well, they look serious, don't they? I mean, even when they were going through that run of really patchy form, Pochettino said, I'm not actually too worried because if you look at the numbers, they're pretty good.
The performances
weren't
far terrible.
Off what we want to be doing. It's
it was
just
the
about
results.
Scoring goals. And they were excellent against Burnley. They really, really sort of took control of that game. So I think this is potentially quite a tricky one because Chelsea feel serious again in a way that they hadn't done for a while because they'd looked a bit lost with so much turmoil and so many sort of new personnel coming in and going out. And obviously gradually as they get players back, because they've got a massive injury list as well, they are going to keep augmenting that. So yeah, I think this is potentially quite a tricky one, but these are the challenges that Arsenal have to keep rising to now. And it's been a while since, you know, they go into a game like this where you would expect them to get anything really, even though their record at Stamford Bridge over the past few seasons has been really good. It's interesting to try and sort of get used to this idea that Arsenal were the favourites in a game. So they'll be looking to win, obviously, and they'll be looking to control the game as well, which is something that they've kind of been good at this season without being like fully clicking. But I think, again,
you think they can control the game against Chelsea?
Well, that's got to be the aim, isn't it? That's Arteta's game in every game, and it's taken Arsenal a while to click this season, but obviously, you know, they're still second in the table, unbeaten in the league, and there are signs of it. So I think this could be a sort of entertaining one. And with Mudryk versus Havertz, it is an absolute goth off, isn't it? Properly, absolute, just existential narrative drama all over the shop.
I think that's harsh on Mudryk.
Yeah. I don't think either of them are going to start the game anyway.
You don't think?
Well, I mean,
I think Havertz might start.
If Havertz plays, it'll be his first return. Well, I mean, he will return to Stamford Bridge, you'd imagine. Yeah. He would be.
You're leaning into the narrative rather than the form table there, aren't you?
I can't go in there. I'll just sit outside.
I've not done anything yet.
William Gallas was particularly harsh on him, Peter, wasn't he, of late?
Was he harsh?
He's done nothing since he joined, and I think he's in trouble.
Wait, so he's like he's in trouble with the boss or something?
No, I think he was like, oh, he's in trouble, mate.
All you can hear is this noise.
Yeah,
I'm going to bash him. But Havertz, I don't know what... I really fancied him in an Arsenal side, and I know assists and goals aren't all that, where he's playing that kind of almost Xhaka replacement kind of role. But why give him penalties and stuff? You know
well,
what I mean?
Well, that was purely to boost his confidence.
Why,
game,
though?
Sure,
like, if that's well, not... It's either important or it isn't. It's either important or it isn't.
Why is it important to boost his confidence, Pete?
Who needs confidence when you've got skill, yeah?
Do you want me to boost your confidence?
No, because it probably involves you touching me.
I like the shirt you're wearing today.
Thank you, mate. Cheers.
And I like the shacket you came in today as well.
Thank you.
Very nice.
2-0 to Donaldson.
I like how concerned you looked when you realised that your dog hadn't been picked up for daycare today as well.
Yeah.
Where's the dog now?
I've not looked. Do you want me to check? 2-1. Just wandering the streets.
Oh dear. Yeah. It will be interesting to see if Mudryk or Havertz or indeed both start. Mauricio Pochettino said recently that he's fine with the club owners coming into the team's dressing room after matches as long as they do not come for some speech.
Yeah, as long as they respect the lemons.
That's right.
They do what they like.
I mean, has it ever been a good thing?
Yeah.
Surely the owners must know that.
Well, I think basically what you're saying is it's their club, they can go where they want, but please don't do my job.
So if they come in at the end of the season once they've won the league and said, well done everyone, great stuff, champagne's on me, that's fine.
Yeah.
But if they come in and say, you're shit, you're even shitter, that's not going to work.
That's a problem.
Particularly when the guy who owns the club clearly knows the square root of absolutely fuck all about football.
Mm. You're giving him the square root, are you?
Yeah, I am. I am.
Okay.
He knows about as much about football as Jake fucking Humphrey.
Don't have a go at Jake.
You don't have a go at Jake.
Boston, aren't
you two have changed your tune.
No, Jake's done the honourable thing and bowed out.
You said I should do the same. All right, fair enough. Give it to the end of the show.
There we go. Did you see, Jim, that Aaron Ramsdale has spoken about losing his place as the number one choice at Arsenal?
Well, I heard it was competition. sounds like he feels like he lost that competition.
He's
already
lost his position as a number one goalkeeper at Arsenal. Mm. Like everyone with half a brain knew he would. Yeah. As soon as Arteta said, "I want that guy over there," because he's much better.
Yeah,
he said, "I'm suffering and hurting,"
and that's not good. I mean, it's a sad thing.
He deserves sympathy,
but he's got a goalkeeper that's better than him.
Well, that's it, isn't it?
Well, the manager thinks
is
better. Than
it is marginal, and I think Raya plays in a slightly different way that he feels is more productive for the team, etc. But I think this is always going to. So David Raya is very good at sort of hanging on to the ball until the opposition make a move, and he'll then find a passing angle and ping it out to give you the sort of technical answer. That's essentially what David Raya himself has been saying this week.
Which was very fruitful, if you like, for Brentford. And
absolutely. And apart from the shaky start against City, was also really useful there. It's not like Ramsdale's distribution is bad. No. It really is marginal in terms of the difference. But this was always going to happen, wasn't it? And it's something that Arteta's going to have to manage. And the timing of it isn't particularly useful, but it's never going to be useful. And Aaron Ramsdale has every right to talk about how he feels. So my concern is that this might become an issue in January, because with the Euros coming up, Ramsdale's going to want to play. He would be well within his rights to start agitating for a move that early if he thinks the writing might be on the wall.
He's not England number one, though. If he was England number one and he started to not get...
But if for some reason Pickford can't make the Euros, which is possible, someone's going to have to step in.
Who knows who Southgate's going to pick in the fucking psychodrama selection tombola?
Indeed.
It doesn't matter. No one knows. Ramsdale could not play another game for the rest of the season and still be in the England squad. Could be the case.
What are you doing?
You know what I'm doing. And I'll also tell you this. You know, it's absolutely fine for Ramsdale to come out and say what he thinks and do the best for his own career. But one thing about the distribution conversation around Raya versus Ramsdale, which has dominated this whole thing, Raya wants to do this, Arteta wants to do this, Arteta wants to do that. Raya's better at the stuff Jim talks about. That's all fine. He also makes loads more saves. He's got a far better save percentage than Ramsdale has. And the writing was on the wall as soon as Arteta clearly made quite a ruthless decision, understandably so, but quite a ruthless decision to say, I want the Arsenal team to be as good as they can be. And that goalkeeper loves Arsenal and he's available, so I want him.
Yeah.
And that's it.
He's also said that if he makes a few mistakes here and there with the distribution, that's all right. And if you're Ramsdale, it's going to be like, oh, God, how am I getting back in here?
I also found the punditry odd. At least it was some way disrespectful that a manager wanted to improve his own team. Mm. Don't say that when they sign a centre-back or a forward.
Because he gives good interviews in English. You know what I mean? That's the tale as all the time, isn't it, I suppose, with punditz.
Maybe
defending the English player. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I don't think that's true.
Surprising.
I think it's true.
What a surprise.
Anyway, carry on, Jimmy.
After all we've given the world, I turn on you like that. Maybe this is me being naive and hopeful for Aaron Ramsdale in particular, because I really like him. But Brighton have been rotating their goalkeepers. Maybe as the season goes on, we will see a bit of a surprise and he will do it a bit more. Having two top goalkeepers is a good thing.
Brighton have been rotating their goalkeepers, looking behind them.
He might even bring him on after 60 minutes. He said, didn't he, that he would fancy doing that.
That's a really interesting point, and that's something we talked about on here as well. And it goes back to Pete's point earlier. Brighton can do it because it's just nowhere near as much attention.
Absolutely.
No one says anything. You know, it's apparently absolutely baffling that Arsenal want two good goalkeepers, yet sometimes people overlook the fact that, as you said, Brighton have been doing it for a long old time. So I felt like Arteta was trying to make Ramsdale feel welcome, try and say all the right things, that every player in his squad is important, and you expect him to do that. It was obvious, I felt, that Raya was going to be the guy.
Yeah.
And as soon as he picked him for the North London derby, that was a run on the wall.
But also, it's one of the things I was very worried about last season, apart from what happened was an injury to Ramsdale, because with all respect to Matt Turner, he's a very, very different type of goalkeeper. It would have completely changed the way the team play.
Yeah.
And, you know, due diligence is having a solution to that problem ready to go. And this is part of that as well.
I just think that you should apply the logic to the same as way you would at every other position. If you've got a forward, if you're Arsenal and you've got a forward who scores 20 goals, and you get availability to sign a player who scored 40 goals last season, he wants to come to Arsenal. Well, of course you're going to get him.
Yeah.
It's just how it is.
Mm. That's just how it is, everybody.
Yeah.
Well, Luke, you and Andy Brassel are recording a Ramble Reacts after the Saturday night games.
Yeah.
Sheffield United are also in action, hosting Manchester United at 8 p.m. So that'll be in your podcast feed first thing on Sunday morning.
It will. I love
how
the way
exciting.
I love also that we've written that as in that's a Sheffield United game at 8 o'clock on Saturday night. It's not a Man United game. Mm. They're hosting Man United. Man United are welcome to be there. They'll play their part, yeah. But it's a Sheffield United game. We're doing both of those on Ramble Reacts, me and Andy. I'll be talking absolute shit, and Andy will know what he's talking about, so it's worth tuning in.
You'd hope so, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I framed it like that because, you know, obviously Sheffield United, Aaron Ramsdale's former club.
Absolutely right, and deserving of respect.
Deserving of respect.
Hopefully they can get their first win of the season. That would actually be really good.
It would be fun.
If they beat Man United on Saturday night, what a Saturday night treat. That'd be brilliant.
Gentlemen, we've just mentioned Manchester United, and it's just reminded me that Wayne Rooney's now operating again in England.
He's back.
How about that? Not at Manchester United. He's too good for that.
Yeah.
Let's be clear. He's going to take charge of his first game as Birmingham City manager on Saturday, and he's up against another former Manchester United man, Michael Carrick, because his Middlesbrough team are in town. In his first press conference, Rooney said that his aim was instant promotion to the Premier League. Big talk.
Instant.
I love it.
Big talk from the big man, yeah.
Why not?
It was a great press conference for a number of different reasons. One, because all the reporters that were present got a real crash course in something they'd forgotten, which is like how no-nonsense, how hard Wayne Rooney is.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not scared of any question.
Or anyone.
No, and he flat-bats everything away. Uh-huh. And the scene was set when one of the reporters asked him if it was, I can't remember the exact wording of the question, but if it was like, is it acceptable that he was earning three times the amount of wages that the predecessor was. He's reported that he's on one and a half million a year or whatever. And he was like so no nonsense. He was like, mate, I've had so many offers. I could have gone anywhere. Like he was literally like, I got offered so much money at other places, which obviously he probably meant Saudi Arabia.
Indeed.
Right? And so straight away he set his stall out and he was like, right, here I am. This is me. Mm. For better or worse.
Yep. Yeah.
And it may well be worse.
Yeah.
He's going to do it on his own terms. And I like that.
Being invited to apologise for what you earn is a bold, you know.
Yeah, it is.
Question,
it's a bit of a weird one. Yeah.
Journalist.
Yeah, I don't understand that. I mean, what do you expect them to say? Well, I'm obviously a better negotiator.
They probably look at him and sort of go, what are you going to spend it on?
Yeah.
It's going to be Mikey Carroll with his trail bikes,
isn't
it?
Order.
What do you mean?
Don't project what you would be like if you had loads of money. That's a Wayne Rooney.
He's having a fight with boxing gloves in his house.
You've got the most Mikey Carroll energy of anyone here.
Yeah, correct.
You would
proud.
Definitely do a little
loud and proud
dirt track in your house.
In the house.
Also, we should also say, lest it not be forgotten,
oh, no.
That who is Wayne Rooney going to be working for at Birmingham?
Oh, the
big Gary Cook.
Big Gary Cook.
You're talking about Brady.
Not Brady.
Surprisingly enough, when Birmingham City were forced to publish, as it's a legal requirement, all their inner workings and everything like that as a company,
Cook's in there.
Brady has got a less than 1% share. Nothing going on there. But Gary Cook is calling the shots. Gary Cook, who was also recently the erstwhile executive president and the CEO of the Saudi Professional League. So I think what's probably happened is Gary Cook's gone after Rooney.
Yeah.
Rooney's not going to get him. He's gone to Birmingham. He said, will you come to Birmingham? And he said, yeah, I'll come to Birmingham.
You sort of get the feeling that we're in this dugout, Carrick versus Rooney. It's like the haves and the have-nots, really. Because like Gibson, I think, wants to sell the club. I think he's written off like $120 million or something of his input. Like a proper football chairman that you don't really see anymore.
Yeah. Been around for years. Gibson.
Exactly. And I think he's... And I think he wants to sell. But Carrick's just got nothing really to spend. And Rooney, on the other hand, has got... on money club.
And also the Carrick situation at Middlesbrough, of course, he came in October, about a year ago, didn't he? About a year ago, and did pretty well.
After the Warlock, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was, yeah. It was after Chris Wilder, wasn't it? Chris Wilder was there, and then he took over.
To me, like Neil Warnock was there like last week.
He's in every championship.
He's everywhere.
Because he's been, I mean, he's managed elsewhere since.
Neil Warnock will outlive all of us. He's like the Keith Richards of football.
Yeah.
But their form's starting to pick up Middlesbrough.
So he does a good job at Middlesbrough. They get to fourth. They get knocked out in the semi-final of the playoffs. And they start the season quite badly this season, but they've won four in a row now.
Yeah.
So it's a really interesting matchup. And I think...
Birmingham are going quite well. It was a surprise that... They sacked the manager.
And it's,
but if Wazza wants the job, then who's going to say no?
Who's going to turn him down?
He's
putting the gloves on. He's putting the boxing gloves on.
Give him the job.
The championship is really, I mean, it's interesting generally. Really interesting in terms of management this season. I mean, Kieran McKenna at Ipswich, who's doing amazing things. Really exciting young coach, came from Man United for his first proper job. And then Enzo Maresca, who earned his kind of stripes under Guardiola at City, right, gets his first job. And Leicester, of course, have got an amazing squad by Championship standards.
He's a bit of a mad head as well.
He's still got to do it. And he's mental. He's what he was going to say. He's completely off the chart. You can tell he's learned under Guardiola. And that's how you can tell Guardiola's got this amazing charisma, because the weirdness that Arteta's got comes from Guardiola.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The weirdness that Maresca's got, similar thing probably.
I wonder if it's more that... Guardiola is attracted to people with a similar intensity. So it's
chicken
not so
egg.
Much him, yeah, indeed. Not so much him rubbing off on them, but him identifying like-minded people.
I'd love to see Arteta shave his head before a big game against City.
That would throw him, wouldn't it? Yeah. But you have got some interesting operators in the Championship. You've also got the David Wagner group at Norwich City.
Yeah.
And then at Leeds United, you've got Daniel Farke getting some of the topics right, because they are currently fifth.
And you've got agent Russell Martin bringing down Southampton from the inside. Always nice to see.
On the subject of Leeds United, as it was just mentioned there, did you see... because we were talking about Marcelo Bielsa and his Uruguay side on Wednesday, it's emerged that a group of Leeds United fans, including the bassist of Kaiser Chiefs, has...
Yeah, he's got nothing on now. Absolutely nothing on. No, 5-10 years ago, he's been interviewed by Pete Donaldson.
Yeah.
That's true.
In a phone booth, I seem to recall, the last interview you did with the Kaiser Chiefs.
There you go. And that is the death bell, isn't it?
That is the death bell. If you're in a phone booth with me, you're in trouble.
Yeah. Or you're trying to hatch some kind of plan.
You say he's got nothing on. Well, he's filling his time very, very wisely, I would say. Because him and some Leeds fans travelled all the way to South America to see Marcelo Bielsa and see his Uruguay team and all that. And they gave Bielsa one of his buckets.
Nice.
One of his prominent buckets that he would sit on at Leeds United. It's funny that he left it there, but then if you're Bielsa, presumably you've got access to other buckets, as we all do.
But it's nice that he's got that bucket, and hopefully we'll see it in the Uruguayan dugout.
It's the most famous bucket other than the Colonel Sanders KFC bucket. And this is exactly the kind of
bucket head from Guns N' Roses. That's quite a famous bucket as well.
That's true.
Ah, Wally. He's
a Wally. Oh, Wally. Yeah, there's a lot of famous buckets now. I think about it.
Hyacinth bucket.
Yeah, good one. Keep coming, don't they? Keep coming. It's exactly the Kaiser Chief basis doing this is exactly the kind of financial decision which is going to mean they're going to be forced to put out another best of this time next year.
Little mini arena tour or something.
You a fan?
No, I wasn't so much.
No, not really. Yeah.
The lead singer of who's the ones who dress that new metal band who dress in weird costumes,
Slipknot.
The lead singer, he said his favourite album was the first Kaiser Chiefs album.
Employment, is it called?
Employment. Yeah. Interesting.
Very straight. Off the wall decision. That.
Mad.
Off
absolutely
the wall
mad.
Decision. Is it as mad as employing Pascal Chimbonda as manager of Skelmersdale in the North West Counties League Premier Division?
I think if you get that opportunity, you take it, surely.
Mm. Well, he sat on some prominent benches before, Jim, notably one in the World Cup final.
Mm. I love that.
Hey?
I know, it's amazing. And I love that you get players who are obviously not from this part of the world, come to the Premier League, settle here, have some kind of life, and then they always just hang around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Chimbonda doing this, I mean, what's his thinking process? What's I just need to keep busy.
My favourite of that genre might be Gaisica Mendieta.
Yeah. Just hanging out in Middlesbrough somewhere.
Olivia Bernard, just hanging around in Newcastle. I think he teaches youth football or something.
Does Gaisica Mendieta live in Yarm or something?
Yeah,
he probably would live in Yarm.
Oh, it's a nice part. Mm. Yeah, okay, right.
There's a few, I think
Mendieta's like proper Spanish football royalty.
Yeah. Oh, he's just, I mean, I think he may spend his time between the two countries.
Yeah.
I think people love the North East, Peter.
Yeah, they do. It's a nice place. The standard of living up there is absolutely cracking.
So why did you leave?
Needed work. There's no jobs.
Oh, dear.
No, you needed work that didn't involve you doing any actual work.
Correct.
Let's be absolutely clear.
Also, a bit rich, 3-1.
I was about to say, he's sat at the table with us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're all here for the same reason.
We're all in the same stupid trough.
Oh, dear. Well, Pascal was appointed last Sunday. His side are currently bottom. He's made quite the impact, as according to reports, he argued with every refereeing decision in their game against Kendal Town. He shouted at the Kendal Town manager, "I'll give you a tenner if you make 10 passes."
He's already getting the spirit of non-league football.
Yeah, Kendal beat them 3-1, by the way.
Yeah,
and obviously he doesn't like the direct football. It's ninth tier English league, man. Yeah. And he offered the Kendal Town chairman a steak dinner if they beat them in the reverse fixture later in the season.
It's great.
Good.
It's rare that you have a manager pressing, but I think if there is an equivalent, this is it.
You're leaning into narrative as well. You're creating stories for later in the season. Which what the league needs is what the team needs.
Yeah, presumably the Kendal Town manager was thinking, "All right, I will have it, but I'm not having it with you."
Can I also vouch you, please?
It's quite a lazy job for Pascal Chimbonda, because it's, you know, he can it's a kind of job where he could just walk into the club and say, I'm Pascal Chimbonda, you're bottom of the league. Yeah. Just by being who I am, I can do this job. Maybe. And they're going to say yes. And I predict we'll be doing a story in about 3 months' time where he's no longer the manager of Skelmersdale.
I mean, you say, what's your pedigree? Okay, you were an unused sub in the World Cup final. Yeah. You won a trophy with Spurs? Oh, okay. Well, that is rather impressive.
It's just a big hen's tooth. Anyway, it's now time for the Football Ramble ACCA with Betfair. With Betfair, you can build your own football accumulators this season with their 90-minute payout, where all winning selections will be paid out at 90 minutes on their match odds 90 markets, regardless of what happens in added time. And as you all know, we see a lot of added time in the Premier League these days, so that is a lovely fillip for everyone. And this weekend, you can get a completely free ACCA on the football as well. So today and every Friday, each of us will choose our own weekend Premier League game and build an ACCA of 4 match odds, 90 bets. Marcus, you are up first. And I should say this, before you give us your selection, you have got 6 out of 8 correct so far.
Yes, I have. And
it's the best record of all of us.
Well, I was stitched up by that whole VAR business with Liverpool and Spurs.
Yes, you were.
And I'm sure I was with the other one. So, it's a pretty perfect record.
Okay, Marcus, you've got 8 out of 8 correct. How are you going to continue this perfect record?
I'm going to go for the Gary O'Neill derby.
Nice.
And I think that Wolverhampton Wanderers are going to be victorious on the South Coast against the Cherries.
It pains me you're calling something a Gary O'Neill derby and Pompey aren't involved, but I'll accept it. So Wolves to beat Bournemouth, that's nice. Jim, we think we've got a little insight into what you think about this game because you mentioned it earlier in the show. You've got Manchester City versus Brighton and you've gone for
a draw. I'm going to go a little bit bolder. I just have a little inkling that Brighton might be able to get something that City is still figuring a few things out. So, yeah, I'm going to go for them to draw.
Cool. What an upset that would be.
You got a 50% record, Jim. And if all else fails, the consolation for all of us here is that we at least now know which one's going to let us down this week. Pete?
Despite the fact that Luton are just outside the relegation places as it stands at this point in the season, I think Nottingham Forest versus Luton will go to Nottingham Forest simply because Andros Townsend may make his debut and he is rapidly coming. Quite a figure of tragedy for a lot of Premier League fans. So
you've perked up, Marcus.
I'm sorry, what? A figure of tragedy.
Well, just once he was just been. He said he couldn't find a club, and now he's found a club, and he's going to lose against Forest.
Sounds like a Morrissey lyric.
I was about to say. He's going to score in that game.
I agree with your sentiment. The reasons you've given are exactly the type of reason why you are 1 out of 5 in your record so far.
Because I'm brave. Yeah, because I'm a brave boy. Other people, I'll go for them to win. It's Arsenal, constantly going to win. Yeah. I'm going for a mid-table side to beat a less than mid-table side.
The stories
brave. How brave.
Going
brave
boy. Is
what
so
brave boy.
The stories we tell ourselves. I'm going to follow up and finish with the final pick of the four by saying I think Liverpool will beat Everton.
Brave boy.
In the interest of clarity, I've also got a 50% record. Same as Jim, I've got 3 out of 6. Although Jim's got 4 out of 8. So in summary, Wolves to win. A draw between Manchester City and Brighton, Forest to win and Liverpool to win. A £10 bet with Betfair on that returns £226.88. And if we win, all that money will go to Prostate Cancer UK. Plus, for every stoppage time goal in the Premier League this weekend, Betfair are donating £10 to Prostate Cancer UK. Remember, with Betfair this season, when you place a bet on their match odds 90 markets, your winning bet will be paid out in full at 90 minutes. Any bets that are winning at 90 minutes but are then undone by some stoppage time drama will not be affected, and that's the same for our Ramble ACCA every week. Opt-in required. Max free bet varies from £1 to £10 per customer. Minimum combined odds of 1.5. T's and C's apply. 18 plus only. And for more information on responsible gambling, visit begambleaware.org.
Whenever I hear the word ACCA, Luke, I always think of when Johnny Greenwood stabs the guitar in the song Creep.
ACCA, ACCA, ACCA. Yeah.
ACCA.
It's a good link.
I'm a creep.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, what? It's a simple game of categories. If you go too slow, you're going to be hearing Gary Neville, which will leave you 7 seconds. Marcus canted to a win over an out-of-sorts Jim Campbell last week, because Jim is usually pretty good to remain lineal champion.
Jimmy to the Beat, the official documenter of this game on Twitter, says that Jim's not actually that good.
I'm lagging behind this.
Okay,
season.
Right, fine. Oh, well, I just
gives
get the
impression
sense
of someone who's quite decent.
Okie dokie, fine. resting on previous victories. Jim, we're going to kick things off with you with the first question. Each Premier League club's current longest serving player.
Oh, that's great.
So that's the longest serving player for each Premier League club who is still there. This doesn't include the youth career. It's since they signed a professional contract with the club. There are 20 players, of course. Each Premier League club's current longest serving player. Think of a club, think of a player. It's as simple as that.
Well, that is a good question.
Okay, Mohamed Elneny.
Whoa, that's good.
I like that.
Well,
7 years, 8 months. Oi, congratulations.
That's your
Jim.
Knowledge gone now.
That's gone. Absolutely gone.
I'm seriously impressed with that.
Yeah.
That's a big power play from Jim. You know, we were slagging him off earlier, but my goodness.
Yeah, I know the players at my own club. Come on.
Come on, Marcus. Who's your Fulham lad?
Oh, yeah, thanks. Well, let's go for Tom Kearney then.
That's what I would have guessed. He'd have to go Fulham.
Yeah.
Oh, unlucky. Unlucky.
Okay, so unlucky. I'm going to go with Son Heung-min.
Oh.
And Jim's got it. An early win for Jim after all that slagging.
Is it Ben Davis at Spurs?
Hugo Lloris.
Oh, he's still there. Of course.
11 years, 1 month. What you could have won. Aaron Cresswell at West Ham. Adam Smith at Bournemouth. Chris Basham at Sheffield United. Hugo Lloris at Spurs. We had Joe Gomez at Liverpool. Oof. Joel Worrell at Nottingham Forest. Joel Ward at Crystal Palace.
Not Joel and Joel's.
Johan Gudmundsson at Burnley. John McGinn at Villa. Kevin De Bruyne at Man City. Lewis Dunk, Brighton. Luke Shaw, Man United, 9 years. Marek Rodak at Fulham. Max Kilman at Wolves. Mohamed Elneny at Arsenal. Obviously, Jim got that one. Paul Dummett at Newcastle. 12 years, 3 months. Pelly Ruddock and Panzu at Luton. 9 years. Rico Henry at Brentford. Seamus Coleman at Everton. And finally for now, Trevor Chalabar at Chelsea. Just 5 years and 7 months.
Blimey. I was trying to think about the Chelsea one and I just thought to myself, don't guess Chelsea.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know whether it counts as being loaned out. So, all right,
Jim's
round number two.
Point.
We're going to kick things off with Marcus Speller this round. Clubs at Manchester United have lost two in competitive games since they were beaten 7-0 by Liverpool on March the 5th.
Oh, blimey.
Clubs at Man United have lost two in competitive games since they were beaten 7-0 by Liverpool on March the 5th. There are nine clubs, Marcus.
Brighton. You fucking wanker.
Got beaten twice by Brighton.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Ew.
Okay. God, why does your mind go blank when you're playing a stupid game?
It's Torres.
That'll help.
Man City.
Fuck off. Lucky Loki. Loki's out.
It's not unlucky, it's just crap.
Jim.
Arsenal.
Galatasaray.
Oh, lovely.
Bayern Munich.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, well done, Jim.
Come on, Spelzy.
Jim for the win. Tottenham Hotspur.
Oh, lovely.
It's Torres to give Chelsea.
Aston Villa.
Oh,
Marcus, what's a point?
Unbelievable, Marcus Spellak. We could have had Crystal Palace, Newcastle United, or
Newcastle
Sevilla.
United, yeah.
Who was the last one?
Sevilla.
Oh, yeah.
Sevilla. Fucking oh, hell. And West Ham, sorry.
Off the pitch. You'd have been right a lot of trouble this weekend.
Fortunately, that was
your manner.
Exactly. All right, Lukey Moo, you're up for this one.
Come on, Luke, take it to a tiebreaker.
Don't patronise me.
Take it.
Oi, get just yourself a point.
Just jam that in the canal. Just jam that big boat in there so no one can get past. Go on. Don't achieve anything. Just stop everyone else from. Yeah. Players to score a Premier League hat trick for Man City. Players to score a Premier League hat trick for Manchester City. There are 16 players.
Erling Haaland.
Sergio Aguero.
You reckon?
Raheem Sterling.
Oh, he has. You know.
Riyad Mahrez.
Ooh. Oh, I like it.
Edin Dzeko?
Oh, nice.
He has.
This is poor.
It's not really. It's quite hard when you think about it.
How many are left?
Talking about my own performances, Paul.
Oh, okay. Yeah. 11.
It's Torres!
Yaya Toure.
Oh.
Correct.
Very good.
Wow. Good stuff.
Very good.
Really, really good.
Mid orgasm.
So I'm caught between two players here.
Right.
And I don't know if either of them have done it. I don't know if either of them have done it. Kevin De Bruyne.
Oh. He has, you know. You can have number one now. Yeah. Jim?
Gabriel Jesus.
Oh, yeah, forgot about
indeed.
Him.
He has indeed.
Forgot about
They've
him.
They've had some goal scorers over the years, haven't they?
They have had some goal scorers.
Marcus Speller.
It's Torres! Oh!
Mara Balotelli. I'm not confident with that.
Oh! So we're all back in there because I started, yeah. Right? The only one I can think of that may have done it now, after all these guesses, is Emmanuel Adebayor.
You would be incorrect, Nakima. You'd be incorrect. Jim Campbell?
Alvaro Negredo?
Oh! Surely not.
Nope.
I had a really good period with him, though. I thought he might have done it then.
Marcus, let's be having you.
How many left?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Seven?
Seven left.
You forget that they existed before the takeovers.
Yeah, yeah. You do. Is it Premier League?
Yeah.
It's time!
I'll go for Uwe Rosler then.
Oh! So we're all back in.
All back in. Have you got anything for us?
Is this
you had
in the history
one?
Of the Premier League?
Yes.
I would possibly argue.
Right.
Was right or wrong?
Mm. Yeah, I know. Well, I'm about to hear if we win the argument or not. Paul Dickoff.
Nearly went for that one, actually. Jimmy?
Sean Wright Phillips.
No, not a big.
Marcus, if you get one now, you've won the whole thing.
Yeah. Come on, Spelzy. Have a think. Have a think, lad.
There's two names I've got down, and I will go for David Silva. If it's Sean Goater, it's a sickner.
It's not Sean Goater.
Oh, okay.
There's a few very, very big names here. You could have had Bernardo Silva. You could have had a Silva.
Oh.
You could have had your friend of mine, Carlos Tevez, Jim.
Oh, I forgot all about Tevez. Yeah.
You could have had Ferran Torres, Jim.
I forgot Luke. About him.
Yeah.
Nicolas Anelka, anyone?
Oh, yeah. Obviously. Yeah, yeah.
Paolo Juanchop.
Oh, yes.
And finally for now, Robinho and Phil Foden.
Phil Foden?
Phil Foden's a bit of a swerve, yeah. All right then, tiebreaker, lads.
Here we go.
We never get to the tiebreaker. It's quite exciting. I don't really know how to administer it. Players Brighton have sold.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Players Brighton have sold since the start of the 2022 summer transfer window. And this excludes loans and free transfers. Players that Brighton have sold since the start of the 2022 summer transfer window. Can't all be easy ones to even get on the ladder.
Luke, which one of us are you supporting?
And who's going first?
Kicking off with you, Jim.
I'll probably support Jim.
Mois Caicedo.
Yeah, he's in there.
Alexis McAllister.
Correct.
Mark Cucurella.
Oh, yeah.
Correct, yeah.
I'll go for Sanchez.
Who?
Oh, no.
What?
Yeah, Sanchez.
What's his first name?
What's his first name?
We all know his first name.
Sounds like you don't, Marcus.
David.
Oh, no. Jim Campbell wins.
Jimmy wins. Sorry, man.
What's his
Jim
first name?
Campbell Robert.
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 Oh, I didn't have one. I did not have one.
Jim, you saw it as the haters there, mate. Yeah.
You could have had Mikhail Carbonick. You could have had Matt Clark, Ostergaard. You could have had Trossard. You could have had Connolly, Kadra, Maupay, Sanchez, Taylor Richards, who was initially loaned and then bought in 2023.
Ooh. Sorry, what was Sanchez's first name?
Sanchez was his Robert. Yves Bissouma as well. He went at number 13.
Well, this game does
congratulations,
change.
Congratulations, Jim. That was a fun round.
Don't be a bad loser. This game does change.
This game does change.
You undermine the whole thing.
No,
if you
I didn't Jim won.
Oh, okay, right.
This game does change.
Yeah, I worded it
smoking a cigarette,
poorly.
Looking into the horizon.
You're like,
this game does change.
Horrible to a fourth official.
I remember when this game was all fields.
This game does change. What that means.
It's very emotional.
The player don't change, the game changes.
Exactly, yeah.
But listen, I'll tell you one thing that doesn't change.
Yeah.
Who's the arbiter of the weekend?
Yeah. It is me. Yeah. It is very much me. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betfair, part of the Acast Creator Network. Don't forget to join Luke and Andy on Sunday for Ramble Reacts, and do follow us on Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram at Football Ramble. And don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app. Here are the keys. They're in the lock, everybody. Oh, there's the old dirty little lock opening.
Covered in Vaseline. And,
what's inside the door?
The weekend.
Nice to see.
There we are. Nice. Enjoy yourselves, everybody. Don't forget on Sunday morning, Luke and Andy. And then we'll be back on Monday, of course, after that. Lots of love. Thank you, Luke Moore.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Bye.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. See you soon.
A good wish then, man.
That sounds like a straight-to-video sort of...
good ham man.
Good West Ham man.
A good ham man.
Starring Craig Fibrath. Yeah. Who inexplicably is in One Piece.
What?
He's like one of the main characters in One Piece.
He's done well there, isn't he?
Yeah.
Don't know One Piece, don't know the actor, although I'm sure if I Googled I would.
Yeah.
But I won't.
Too late for you, isn't it?
It's a great little monologue, that.
Is it too late?
Yeah.
I'm suffering and hurting.
Anything past David Beckham scoring that free kick against Greece, culturally, you're not interested.
Have a fucking dig back at him.
Right. There are some Oasis albums that haven't done
that.
They don't count. Yeah. They are echoes.
Don't count.
If you want me to stick up for you, brother, just tell me. All right, I'll stick the boot right in. Andy's not here. I'll take him on instead. Yeah.
We're getting to midday. I'm going to start getting full on soon.
Full on Campbell.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app and hit subscribe.